The person who is arguably the single most powerful economic policymaker in the country gets to keep his job, according to the president. I'm David Brancaccio. There's news this hour that President Biden will tap Jerome Powell for another term as chair of the Federal Reserve, America's central bank. Economist Lael Brainard, a long-term member of the board, was considered for the top post, but will be nominated for vice chair instead. Let's now say good morning to economist Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, who is also just hearing the news.
Good morning.
All right, so the president opting for some kind of continuity here. What do you think this means that Jerome Powell stays on?
Well, as you mentioned, it means continuity in terms of the framework being used for decision making. And he also elevated Dr. Brainard, Governor Brainard, who he also liked very much in the interviews and was having a hard time deciding between the two. So Powell stays as chair and Dr. Brainard gets the vice chair position.
All right. So they've been working together for a long time. Dr. Brainard's been on the Fed since 2014, for instance. But they don't see eye to eye on everything. Lael Brainard was a little more focused in thinking about the Fed's role in mitigating climate change. That seems less Jerome Powell's deal. In fact, he said so in speeches.
Yes, although I do think that Chair Powell will listen to Dr. Brainard and take her guidance on some of these issues. He did, for example, when Governor Brainard took the lead on protecting the Community Reinvestment Act in recent years, and Chair Powell absolutely backed her up on that. So even though he's less forward-leaning on the issue, if she takes the lead, I think he will support that leadership.
Julia Coronado, economist at Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Now an update on the ongoing fraud trial of Elizabeth Holmes, founder of a failed blood testing startup called Theranos, which promised pinprick blood testing that was supposed to revolutionize medical care. Many users were delivered faulty test results from a technology that may not have been ready for prime time. We're joined by Adam Leshinsky, a Business Insider contributor who's been in the courtroom. Adam, welcome.
It's always my pleasure, David.
So it wasn't clear if Holmes herself would be called to the stand, yet on Friday, you were there, she testified. What'd you think?
Well, I was floored, as I think was everyone else in the room who didn't already see it coming, and most of us simply did not. It had been a sort of tedious, boring day, as these trials often are, and all of a sudden her lawyer stood up and said, the defense calls Elizabeth Holmes, and she took the stand, and it was like peak Elizabeth Holmes from 2014, 2015, when you remember seeing her on the conference circuit. She was her old self telling her story, and it was something to behold.
Yeah, the author Tom Wolfe used to talk about charismatic Silicon Valley bosses projecting a halo, he called it. Holmes, was she able to project the halo that drew people in, the jurors perhaps?
Now, keep in mind, she has only testified for 1 hour so far. She'll be on for the next day and a half at least. She projected an image of confidence and charisma and so far even likability. She smiled a lot. She turned to the jury to explain things. So their tactic is to make her both sympathetic and likable and also to give her the opportunity to explain these allegations against her. I can't sit here and tell you if she's going to be able to convince the jury, but I know that she has a shot.
All right. So the defense is counting in part on her charisma. The prosecution rested its case. You saw some powerful points made there toward the end?
Yes. What the prosecution did was hammered home all of the points they have been making for 10 or 11 weeks now, that Theranos had doctored reports that it gave to investors, that it had made ridiculously rosy projections, that it had made claims about working with the military, and that it had relationships with pharmaceutical companies that it never had. And what the prosecution did was to just drive home these points one last time.
But the defense, right, just beginning, where Some think they see the defense strategy is in part to drag out proceedings. I know the judge has been a bit grumpy about that. How does it help Elizabeth Holmes' defense if court proceedings run, shall we say, at a slower pace?
Well, it potentially helps her if the case goes on so long that the jury becomes so frustrated that a couple or three or more of them drop out. If that were to happen, there could be a mistrial. Now, her lawyers have indicated that they see a relatively short case. As a matter of fact, they see that this could wrap up by the first week in December. So they will not call witness after witness the way the government did. They already have their star witness on the stand right now.
Adam Leshinsky, longtime Silicon Valley reporter, has been following the trial. His latest book was on Uber's wild ride. Adam, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.